Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline from Fox Sports, also a former WWE 24/7 champion, host of the Big Noon Kickoff on Fox this weekend in Madison. It's Rob Stone. Stone, appreciate the time, man, on the Wendy's Big Show today.
Let me tell you, that's how you start off an introduction. Introducing me as former 24/7 champ, you have no idea the smile on my face. I'm sorry, brother. You're not getting a Mariah Carey vote from this guy.
I know. See? I'm
an NXS cat, man.
So I like NXS.
I like the music leading.
That works out. He's also a ham bone purist, as we hear from our man, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer.
There we go. I'm talking to my people in Wisconsin. I love this.
Oh, 100%, Rob. This week in Madison, what can people expect from first you guys on the road here for the Big Noon Kickoff? It's going to be outstanding, and then the Wisconsin Badgers and the Michigan Wolverines kicking off this run of Big Ten play on Fox.
Yeah, this is one I think we've really kind of circled and you know, kind of hoping that both teams made it through week two and can sit on that bye as unbeaten. And we all know that Michigan was barely able to survive Army 2 weeks ago, which just kind of brought up a ton of questions. And I know we'll get into that. But I think this is that first real marquee Big Ten game that's out there. And I think both of these programs have to kind of look at this as pretty darn close to must win if they want to get themselves in the playoff picture. There's just so little room for error, particularly when you look at what the other universities are doing out there. Look, somebody up out there, are you going to tell me Clemson's going to lose before they get to the playoffs? Right? I mean, the ACC is so down right now. I think Clemson's gone through the toughest part of their schedule. I think they're an absolute.
But if they lose, Rob, they're still going to be in it. If they lose, they'll still be in it. If Alabama lose, they'll still be in it, right?
100%. And we're already talking two, maybe three SEC teams with a real strong sniff to get in. And then Oklahoma and Texas. I think Texas still has a chance because odds are they're going to get two more bites at Oklahoma, and that looks pretty good. So if you're the Big Ten, you're saying, look, we need to get our tail back into the playoff picture, and there's no way a two-loss Big Ten team is getting in. I think we all know that. I think that's only reserved for the SEC. So if you're Wisconsin or Michigan, you're saying we got to win this week because we know how many nasty roadblocks are still ahead of us down the road, meaning that they've got to continue to sweep the table. If you're Wisconsin, though, I think you're happy where you are. I mean, how can you not be? You're outscoring the opposition 110-0, but it's the opposition that we're talking about. So, you know, is Wisconsin that good, or are the South Floridas of the world that poor right now? And I think we're going to find out. My hunch is that Wisconsin is that good, and I think the fact that they have something to complement Jonathan Taylor's running game is the difference this season for Wisconsin.
Well, having Quintez Cephas back as that wide receiver helps too. That wide receiving core may be one of the more talented wide receiving cores they've had in the last 20 or 30 years at this point, Rob. But let's talk about Michigan just for a quick moment here. Are people kind of bewildered by the fact that Harbaugh hasn't had more success with how well he's done in his recruiting classes, the success that he had at Stanford, and then looking at, you know, his record versus, say, Paul Chryst? Chryst has the better record, has more bowl success than he does, and his recruiting classes aren't anywhere close to what Harbaugh has.
It's the khakis and the glasses.
Well, it's distracting, and eating the steak and drinking the whole milk. And, you know, I think what it is really is it's the fact that so much of the focus of Michigan football is on Jim Harbaugh. And look, as a head coach, you clearly want to take the stress off your players, right? Let them come to me. Let me deal with this. You guys just worry about graduating, worry about your academics, worry about your football. I'll deal with this. But in the Harbaugh case, to me and to a lot of other outsiders, it feels like it's above and beyond, where it is the focus on the khakis and the glasses and the hat. It is that focus where he's wearing the gloves during warm-ups and throwing with the QBs and catching as well. And some guys may love that, and they may love the fact that their coach is down there getting the nails dirty and trying to be in the pits with these guys. But I get the sense that it's just a little too much a little too much me. And look, Jim has won there. He just hasn't won when it's mattered, right? He hasn't won versus ranked teams. He hasn't won those rivalry games with Michigan State and Ohio State for the most part. And that's what the conversation is going to be about. People are going to forget in a couple weeks, if not already, that they had to go to overtime with Army, right? I mean, this is an Army team that can only get 14 points on the board versus Rice in their opener in Michigan at the Big House. Can't stop Army, and they can't move the ball. So I am confused by Michigan, because the Michigan I knew growing up was, you know, was this certain entity that that was Bo Schembechler and the talent that came through there and the pride and the prestige that was there. So I expect them to constantly be in the national title conversation. To me, they're only in the national title conversation the last couple of years in the opening weeks of the season and the preseason mm-hmm. talk, where it's like, is this the year for Michigan? Here they finally got a quarterback that's going to solve their problems. But all the conversation only seems to be in August and September, and once mid-October comes, people have moved on from Michigan, and then the narrative becomes, how come Harbaugh can't win these big ones? How come Michigan isn't better than they are? And part of that is the expectations. I think it's fair to say the expectations nationwide on Michigan are greater than they are on Wisconsin. And Paul Chryst plays to that perfectly. And I think you can strike easier and with more success when those expectations are somewhat tempered compared to what you have to deal with in Ann Arbor, in Columbus, you know, in Tuscaloosa.
Talking with Rob Stone, you can follow him at Rob Stone on Fox on Twitter. He's previewing Badgers and Michigan Wolverines. Big noon kickoff on Fox in Madison this Sunday, or Saturday, excuse me, Badgers and Michigan here on The Fan.
Rob, Jack Cohn takes over. Been very efficient quarterback the first two games. We talked about the opponents. The guy I want to talk about is Taylor. If he puts up another big day, 200 yards, three touchdowns, I know if I'm looking at all these Heisman projections, it seems like they're all quarterbacks, and he would obviously right. be the top running back. These are the games that people are going to look at and say, how good did he do against a Michigan defense?
100%, and you need those Heisman moments as well. But as my cohorts on the set, you know, Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart will tell me, you don't want to be the Heisman winner in September.
Right.
That's not when Heismans are won. Yes, you can build that base and you can get that early buzz and conversation and eyeballs, particularly if you're kind of an outsider. But you're right. In the end, they're going to say, hey, good for you. You did that against USF. Oh, great. You ran it on Central Michigan for another 100-yard game. What'd you do against Michigan? Because you say Michigan defense, automatically, right or wrong, our brains, the voters of the Heisman trophy out there are saying, whoa, that's a good defense. That's really impressive you were able to do that. So I think it's mandatory, if a Heisman is to return to Madison, that it starts with a strong Saturday for Taylor against Michigan. And I don't expect him not to have a strong day. And again, I think right. it goes back to this Cohn-Cephas pairing. And I think it takes this pressure off of Taylor. Urban Meyer was telling us this week that Wisconsin is a good football team constantly, right? And give Paul Chryst a ton of credit and the staff for that. They are a really good football team when they can throw it even just a little. And they clearly could not throw it even just a little last year in Ann Arbor when they fell 38-13. And Michigan was able to put up a ton of yards and rush it. But Wisconsin couldn't get it any game going through the air. I don't expect that to be the case Saturday in Madison. And I think, frankly, Cohn and the connection with Cephas is going to be the difference on Saturday.
Yeah, one more for me. I think Sparky got a couple more. But I think the game will be more impactful if it was in November than so
Correct.
Early. I mean, early, 100%. 11 o'clock. But and they got an early bye week. But just, again, having your first home Big Ten opponent at home, being Michigan, it's going to be a lot of people here, a lot going on. My question is, say you were the general manager, and say you were running everything, when would you have these games, these meaningful games in the Big Ten? Would you have them early, middle, or late?
Man, that's a great one. I think my gut would tell me that I would like to space it out throughout the campaign, because I love the fact that college football comes in strong now in week zero.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We don't even have a number next to it. Week zero, and there's big-time games, and guess what? the college football community and the eyeballs are invested already before we even get to week one. So I do like these big early games. I think particularly if you're like a Big Ten or the Pac-12, where you need some more positive conversation going on with some of the other programs. You want these early games, and you want success in them. You know, I think that's what's, you know, I'm going out west right now, Pac-12. They've stung themselves the last couple years by the strong, ambitious scheduling of just one of their kind of hierarchy teams losing to the SEC in week one, and it's hurt the national narrative on that entire conference. Just that one game, that one Oregon loss to Auburn, has hurt the entire Pac-12. Look, I don't think a Michigan or Nebraska or a Michigan or Wisconsin loss is going to hurt the Big Ten narrative, but I actually like the fact that here we are in mid to late September, and we're talking about really important games that matter going into October, November. So I guess my gut is I would string it out as long as you can. Plus, coaches, man, they don't want to be banging each other's brains in and week out come November and December when you're trying to get to the Big Ten championship game. And ideally, because these are programs that have their eyes clearly set on getting the college football playoffs as well.
I got to know something. For you, Rob, is Wisconsin your favorite on that side of the conference? Because coming into the season, I'll be honest, I picked Nebraska on that side. But right now, Wisconsin looks pretty good.
100%. I think Nebraska was one of those trendy picks where a lot of folks said, oh, they had so many close defeats last year and they ended the campaign strong. And Scott Frost, what he's been able to do once he's given that time, and Martinez at quarterback, I think a lot of people kind of fell in love with Nebraska. And my hunch is Scott Frost saw that his Cornhuskers were ranked in the preseason. And look, we can do hours about what preseason rankings mean and what they really don't mean. But in the end, it's still bringing attention to that program. And yes, he wants it, but I don't think he wanted those expectations quite yet. I never bought that Nebraska was the team to beat. I thought Nebraska would be a stronger opposition this year than they were last year. And I think they would maybe be more of a team that would be a spoiler rather than a contender in the Big Ten West. And I think right now it's clear that Wisconsin is the team to beat. And once they, we'll know a lot more Saturday with the top 15 showdown with Michigan, and you get that win under your belt, you're clearly saying to yourself, the Badgers are the team to beat, and folks in Wisconsin might want to start looking about travel to Indianapolis come December.
It is going to be fun this Saturday. Badgers and the Michigan Wolverines, big noon kickoff with Rob Stone here on The Fan joining us on the Wendy's Big Show. Rob, the cast here quickly, I got one. You got Brady Quinn, Matt Leinart, and Reggie Bush. There's a couple of USC guys and one guy that's being connected to USC. What's the deal there with Urban Meyer?
Yeah, we're going to be at the Coliseum tomorrow on FS1. So we've got number 10 Utah at USC, and Reggie going back to the Coliseum. It's just going to be something really special. I know for Reggie and for all of us, and I honestly hope and I do feel this is going to be kind of that bridge-building moment between USC, Bush, and the NCAA, where he's going to start to be brought back into the family. I hope so. I don't know
that. I
pray so. I really feel like this is going to be a turning point Friday night. And, I can't wait to get to Coliseum and see what that organic, natural reaction is going to be for Reggie to the audience and the audience back to Reggie. Reggie's already told me this week, man, that's where I became a man. You know, that is my home. I got a tough relationship that's going on right there, but there's a lot of love. There's a lot of love for USC and that Coliseum for Reggie. So I can't wait to see it. And yes, Clay Helton is under duress. There's no athletic director. There's a brand new president who, by the way, came out today and said she's not interested in hiring Urban Meyer should there be an opening at USC.
That means she's interested in hiring.
It's not smart. That's not a smart decision.
That's the tea leaves.
Yep, that's what it means.
I got to tell you, I cannot speak for Urban Meyer, and I never will. I do believe he's really enjoying this television gig, and he's fantastic at it. Oh,
he's
by the
bored
way,
to I death. Mean, he really yell at kids. Make $12 million.
He's made his coin, right?
He doesn't. Oh yeah, he got plenty of money.
Yeah.
He's good there. You know, he needs that drive. He needs that competition. And That's something elite athletes, elite coaches all have in common. They need to keep doing that. So I think it'll be good for him to get on site, to get out to a game that he can smell and breathe and taste and really, really feel it. But like he's had some serious health issues, and these are no joke health issues, and he can't continue doing this. And we've talked in private about, you know, the images last year, the cameras really seemed to find Urban at the precise moments that he was in sheer pain and discomfort, and he knew something was wrong. And he'll tell you, man, it was worse the year before. So this has been an issue that's ongoing for him and his family for years. And I think he's at the point where I can't keep doing this to my body. I can't keep doing this to my loved ones. It's time to try to find that next outlet. But I think it's always going to be there. You know, when you are elite like Urban Meyer is, and people are going to want to try to bring you in and kick the tires and make a phone call and see if this is something that works. My gut, my advice, my Las Vegas advice would be not to put any money on Urban Meyer going to USC.
But more importantly, would he join you on the PBA telecasts on Fox that were outstanding this year?
100%.
Yeah, 100%. For sure.
If we're in Columbus, Ohio, I'm gonna teach him what a ham bone is in no time.
There you go.
I'll get him barking the back-to-back jacks and all that good stuff.
that deal with the PBA Tour and Fox just produced, I think, more than anybody possibly could have realized with the replays on FS1 and the big broadcast on the national Fox. Just unbelievable the difference as far as audience size goes now that PBA Tour
than prior to the deal.
What
does PBA stand for?
Professional Bowling Association.
Again, what does that stand for?
Good job, Billy. I'm very impressed with
you. What does that stand for?
Very impressed.
Professional Bowling.
I care about it. It's college football season. Yeah, I care about it.
Hey, Rob Stone's a play-by-play guy for the PBA, man.
Come on, Leroy.
Rob, my best score is 87, okay? So, Steve won't teach me.
The bar in the concession stand, 87.
It's Steve's fault. That's what the bumpers.
Yeah, and he was an athlete. Yeah,
I'm embarrassed. I don't think I would be taking phone calls from this radio station. I mean,
Rob, and that's what the bumpers. That's what the bumpers up. I still can't get over 87. Yeah.
We're going to figure this. Let me tell you, we're going to figure this out. Next time I find the PBA is strutting around the great state of Wisconsin,
help me.
Your sorry bowling ass out.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate it, man. Have fun this weekend.
You got it, guys. Thanks for the call.
That's Rob Stone of Big Noon Kickoff on Fox.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.